Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time. From the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida, here's the senior pastor, Dr. Walt Lanier, taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
Jesus, when he speaks of the kingdom of heaven, he's talking about the millennial reign of Christ. There's a difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. And people get that confused. The kingdom of God is all-encompassing. John chapter 3, ye must be born again. Unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of... cannot see it. It's not possible. Okay? In Matthew chapter number 13, he's talking about the kingdom of heaven. When he says, he that answered said unto him, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. So there's lost and saved. Brother Ray, this is a good one for you for your class Thursday. I won't be here. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. Again, it's talking about that millennium. Remember, talking about the good and the bad and all this. Okay. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and that shall do iniquity, and they shall be cast into the furnace of fire, and they shall be wailing and gnashing teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of their Father, who hath ears, let him hear. So what is happening? The angels have separated them. We see it at the beginning of the tribulation period in Matthew chapter number... let's do this one. It's a judgment of the living nations. It's in Matthew chapter number 25. I should have referenced this one. Anyway, it's a judgment of the living nations where they will come and they separate the sheep from the goats. And only saved people are entering to the millennium. Do you get that? At the end of the tribulation, they will be saved and lost. The angels will gather all the people and bring them to the Lord Jesus in Jerusalem. And he separates the sheep and the goats. And only the sheep, the saved, enter to the millennium. And Brother Ray asked me about this week, about this being his class Thursday. Everyone that enters into the millennium are saved people in their physical bodies. But they're going to have children, and they're going to have children, and they're going to have children. And these children must know Christ as their Savior. They're going to have an opportunity. If they don't, we looked at this in Isaiah 65 and Acts chapter number... I think it's 13, talks about where at the age of 100 years of age, if that unbelieving child in the millennium, because the longevity of life has been restored. Am I going too fast for y'all? The longevity of life has been restored, and somebody dies at 100 years of age, they just say, well, he's just a kid. Because people are living hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. And if somebody dies at the years of 100 because they did not trust Christ as their Savior, Isaiah 65 talks about that. So at the end of the millennium, there will be, as the Bible says, as the sand of the sea, saved people, lost people. The lost people are all these teenagers under 100 years of age. Okay, and that's when Satan would gather the armies and go against Christ. And you know the rest of the story there. So they're also going to separate sheep from the goats. Turn me to Revelation chapter number 20. An angel will bind Satan during the millennium. In verse number 1 of Revelation chapter number 20. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, that old serpent, which is Satan, devil Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. So we see a mighty angel. Who is this angel? I don't know. Is it Michael? I don't know. The Bible does not say. Some Bible scholars think it's Christ. I don't know. I think it's probably Michael. He's that great warrior that, he's battled Satan before. We read in Scripture where they battled before. So it's my opinion, again, that it's probably Michael come down. He got a hold of Satan, chained him, and throwed him in the pit for 1,000 years during the millennial reign of Christ. Why is that so important? Again, going back to Ray Deardorff's class. During the millennium, there will be no Satan to bother anybody. Nobody could say with Satan, the devil made me do it. Remember Flip Wilson?
Yes.
The devil made me do it. All right, nobody can blame it on Satan because it's their own stinking fleshly sin nature. Eventually, this is a question Brother Ray had for me. S.F. Breeze, I think, was his name, Nazarene. He started the Nazarene movement. They have a doctrine of eradication of the sin nature. In other words, somebody could live such a holy life that they will never sin. I've never met anybody like that. Only person I know that is Jesus. Okay. S.F. Breeze, he was correct, but he was about 1,007 years too early. The sin nature will be eradicated because the Bible says, I will give them a clean heart. I will give them a new heart. That sin nature will be eradicated, and that will be after the millennium. The new heaven and new earth, no more sin, no more sickness, no more pain, no more sorrow. That's when all sin will be eradicated. Are you following? But angels also cast the lost into hell, and then finally in the lake of fire. We see that in Revelation chapter number 20 also. So many things about the angelic world that we still don't know. I hope over the last few weeks it's kind of helped you, kind of open your eyes to the ministry of angels and what Bible says about it. Just be careful where you get your teachings from. Be careful. That's part of my message this morning about indoctrinating your people. If you don't indoctrinate, you disintegrate. Let that sink. Probably Temple is the only one who gets this one okay. If you don't indoctrinate your people, they disintegrate. In other words, they're carried about by every wind of doctrine. Somebody comes knocking on your door. Hey, I'm here to share something with you. You know who I'm talking about. We had a lady. She never joined this church, and I got to quit. She never, but boy, she came. I did funerals for her husband, for her grandson, did funerals for, this was years ago. And she would sit about where Ray and Helen sit. She sat right about there for months. And finally, she quit coming to church. I live here in Winter Haven. So I knocked on the door. She opened the door, I'll never forget, and there's two ladies sitting with her coffee to her table. And I just happened to be there. Surprised her. You know who those two ladies were? She opened the door to them, whatever, because he'd been gone out of the church a little while, went by, and they started having Bible study, home Bible study with her. And she said, here's my pastor. And I saw them. They went, and I said, come on in. So I sat at the table with them. Even though she wasn't a member of the church, I felt like they were fleecing the sheep. I'm a nice guy. You know I'm a nice guy. And in the nicest words I could say without being intimidated, I told them how wrong they are and started sharing with them scripture about Christ, who he is, and these other things, the heretical things. And they got up and they excused themselves. Well, that lady got upset. She didn't like that because that was her friends and her guests, and she didn't like that at all. And I didn't apologize for it. That's why I like being a nice guy, but sometimes you just got to be straight. She never did come back. Never did ever come back. I don't know what happened to her. I hope she didn't get tied up in that. But she was offended because I run her two friends off. I'll say, you either indoctrinate or you disintegrate. That's why I just started this. That come not. Well, that sure sounds good to me. Our Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. Lord, in the truth of scriptures, Lord, and I don't pretend to even be close to a know-it-all. There are so many things I'm still learning, ever learning. And Lord, I thank you that your word teaches us some things. And Lord, it's not only for our knowledge, but Lord, it's for our life. Lord, we can live by these words. Lord, if necessary, die by these words. Lord, we pray perhaps there's somebody here today that knows you not as Savior. As the word is proclaimed, as it's preached, and the gospel shared, Lord, that this will be the hour that they come to know you as Savior. Father, we love you, we love you, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Senior Pastor Dr. Walt Lanier from the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. We hope that you'll tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious Word. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.